Welcome to City Church Online and happy Independence Day. Today is a special day where we celebrate our nation's freedom, and so we wanted to do something special for our service. Earlier this week, I had the privilege of interviewing one of City Church's own, Elijah Reyes, who is a cast member on the hit musical Hamilton. It is especially fitting that this interview falls on this Independence Day weekend because, well, if you don't know much about the musical Hamilton, apart from it being the biggest musical of our time, setting all sorts of records and winning multiple awards, the musical Hamilton is based on one of our nation's founding fathers, Alexander Hamilton, and it takes place during the forming of America, the Revolutionary War, and when our nation fought and won our independence, the very thing that we're celebrating this 4th of July weekend. And so, in this interview, we're going to learn about Elijah's journey here to City Church, to his journey as a performer and the ups and downs that led him to landing a life-changing role on the musical Hamilton. And afterwards, at the very end, I'm going to share some spiritual nuggets of wisdom for you all. So without further ado, check out this interview. Hey, City Church. Well, today we have something special planned for you guys. We are graced with the presence of Elijah Reyes, who is part of the musical Hamilton. So would everybody in your homes and wherever you are right now, just give a warm applause and welcome to Elijah Reyes.
Thank you. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Right on. So for people who are getting to know you better and who are unfamiliar with what you do in the musical Hamilton, can you introduce yourself?
Yeah. Okay. Well, my name is Elijah Reyes, and I am currently a cast member in the musical Hamilton, the touring company, and Peggy, to be specific. I'm an ensemble member, but I'm also an understudy, and I understudy Hercules Mulligan, James Madison, it's a split part, and then also George Washington. So that's what I do in the musical, and we'll be touring around coming up here soon.
That's incredible. So guys, if you don't know, if you haven't seen the musical Hamilton, it's not just a normal musical, they rap in it. And actually, Hamilton has set the record for the most words in any one musical, with over 20,000 words in the musical. So I could barely remember a worship song lyric, and you're here playing three different roles in this musical. How do you do it?
It is not easy. It's a constant, listening to the soundtrack over and over again, but it's a constant work in progress. And so in the musical itself, when we are doing it, the understudies are constantly in rehearsal. All the days that we only have nighttime shows, the understudy cast, the dancers and the singers, we will be in rehearsal practicing our parts, making sure that it's fresh, that the lyrics are still there. Because like you said, there's a lot of words and some of us have to know more than others. So it's a constant battle and it doesn't always work out on stage. Sometimes you mess up a word or you flip some words around and you just have to go with it because the orchestra does not stop. The music does not stop. So it's figuring out how to pick it back up when you need it.
Man, that's amazing. Well, for people who are not familiar with the musical Hamilton, can you share what the musical Hamilton's about in a nutshell?
Yeah, it's about the American Revolution. It's about how our founding fathers got together and basically made the Constitution and made a president and fought a war. And not only that, I think Lin-Manuel did a very good job with showing that these men were flawed and not covering up all of the things that were done during that time. I thought it was a cool way to see the peaks and valleys of people's lives just because people did heroic, wonderful things. They also had their human tendencies and sin nature, and they knew it, and still they were able to come together and make something that we still look at today. We still read the Federalist Papers. We still are kind of under the same things that Hamilton made as far as our financial institutions. Like, he made all those things. He made the National Bank and all that kind of stuff. So it's cool to see that in a musical, especially brought to life in an urban way with rap and R&B and all that kind of stuff in the musical. So
that's awesome. Before we dive more into the musical, we want to know more about you. So can you let us know, how did you end up coming to City Church?
Oh, it was a good little Yelp search. So I had been attending a church in East LA for a while, and I had moved away from there, and I wanted to go to a church that was closer. So I you know, looked at Yelp and saw what was happening with Christian churches in the neighborhood. And I had visited a few, and then I came to one that was in a club, a dirty club that the urinal squirt water at me when I went to the bathroom. So I knew that this was the church to be at. And that was around 2013. And and ever since then, I got to know people here. And it not only was it a cool vibe, but I got to know Pastor Kyle more. I got to know you more, and just saw that that there was some men of God here that I wanted to learn from, that I wanted to sit under. And it's been a cool ride. It's been a lot of years now. I feel like the years are just kind of going by pretty fast.
They are.
But, you know, being here, some people that have been here for a while kind of see me around, and some people might even know me from The Grinch during Christmas time. That is me in that big old outfit with the headpiece on and everything. terrorizing everybody in the neighborhood. So that's kind of my journey with City Church, and it's been fun, and I'm still around, and thankfully you guys still invite me back. And
of course.
I've been excommunicated yet.
No, not gonna happen. Yeah, you were part of City Church in the glory days. If a lot of people might not know, but we started off in a punk rock club, Chain Reaction, down the street here in Anaheim, and just to let everyone know, the urinals now do not squirt water at you. They are safe, they are sanitary, and it's all good.
We don't have the edge anymore.
We are blessed with this nice new campus, so God's doing some cool stuff. Well, tell us about your musical journey. You know, as an artist, as a musician, it's a struggle. You know, chasing the dream and the ups and the downs of being a musician and an artist. Can you share with us your journey that led you ultimately into this role in the biggest musical of our day now in Hamilton?
And it's actually the biggest thing that's ever happened to me. Well, I started young. I always liked acting, dancing, singing, all that stuff, and I went to a performing arts high school from 5th to 12th grade, and I started working professionally in regional theaters around the San Diego area. I grew up in San Diego. So right out the gate, got on a cruise ship, did, you know, the Radio City Rockettes tour, did the VeggieTales tour when I was younger, did a whole bunch of things. And the funny thing about Hamilton is that I had just gotten an agent. So this is my story into Hamilton. I had just gotten an agent, and they had been sending me out on a lot of things. And I had gotten this really big gig for LA, and the show was called Spamilton. And Spamilton was a spoof of Hamilton. And I was a swing in that show. There was only 5 people in the show, and I understudied all those parts. And the tricky part was that Spamilton was almost exactly like Hamilton. They just changed the words around to make it like more silly, because it was a spoof. It was a spoof of Lin-Manuel, it was a spoof of Hamilton. So anyway, I had all these words in my head because I was learning all these parts. Well, sure enough, the time arrived where my agent got me the Hamilton audition. Now, this is huge. I was like, I got to do it. But there were so many words swirling through my head, the wrong words of Hamilton, because I was doing Spamilton. So I went ahead and went to this audition. And I bombed. I have never been that embarrassed in my professional life to be in front of this casting director. And I had the words in my hand, and I couldn't process it. I couldn't do it. I was embarrassed. My voice was cracking. And it was just that point where she kept giving me more and more opportunities, like, oh, try it this way, or you know, don't worry about this. And there was a point where I just put it down. I was like, I think that's all I'm going to be able to do today. I was so embarrassed leaving that room. But the good news is I let that spur me on to success, meaning after that point, I said, I will never come into this room for Hamilton and not be completely prepared. And so from that time on, there was about 8 months in between. And I had all the music that they had asked me to learn for Hamilton. And for 8 months, I worked on that stuff nonstop. I was in vocal class. I had a vocal teacher, you know, going over and over and over again. So 8 months later, I finally get another audition for Hamilton. And I go in that room with all the confidence in the world. I was like, no one can tell me I don't know what I'm doing here. And from that point on, it was a whirlwind. Because it was in L.A., I auditioned in front of one person. From that point, a few days later, my agent calls me and says, they want to see you in New York. Okay. What does that mean? They want to see you in New York, and they're going to fly you out next week. They flew me out. I was on 42nd Street near Broadway, on Broadway, and I'm in the top level of this this high-rise auditioning, and I'm there in front of the creators of Hamilton, and they're there watching me perform this stuff. Nothing was for sure, but it was pretty. It's a pretty good sign when they fly you on their dime out, and they give me free tickets to the show, which at that point you couldn't even get into. So then, after I auditioned, I flew back home, and a few days later, my agent called, and they said that you booked the part. And not only did you book the part, but you will... I didn't know what cast either. At that point, there was about three or four casts that were one on Broadway, and there was also like two or three touring companies of the show. And they said, not only did you book it, but you will be performing in Puerto Rico with Lin-Manuel Miranda as starring in, as Hamilton.
Nice.
Which was like, that blew my mind. Like, dreams come true. I've always wanted to work with him. I mean, at that point, he was like... an idol to me, not like a godlike idol, but just someone that I looked up to because he was really bringing Latin people to the forefront and showing people that we didn't have to just be a stereotype in the show. So that was my journey with Hamilton. I got to do it in Puerto Rico. We were there for about 2 months, and then I lived in San Francisco for about a year before the pandemic happened, and I was doing Hamilton for a year there. But so that was my whole journey with Hamilton, getting up to it and all the kind of ups and downs of being an artist. And you know out of everybody what it's like to be, to work hard at something and still get critiqued. And that happens even now. So, you know, those of you City Church, when you think about me, pray for me because it is hard. You're putting your heart out there all the time. You go on the stage, you have 2,000 people watching you at night, and you still get critiqued. I get plenty of notes after every performance about little things I could change because it can always be better.
Speaking of your walk, with doing the artist life, it's hard because you get rejections, you audition, you get parts, and like you said, you auditioned and you didn't get the part, and there's this period of 8 months where it was like, I don't know what's gonna happen. Did I really bomb that bad? Yeah. And there's moments of discouragement, and everybody goes through discouragement. You don't have to be an artist auditioning for roles. You can be a wife or working a normal job, even being a student, and discouragement is going to hit you. How has your faith helped you and pulled you through those moments of discouragement?
It's a constant battle. I constantly think, God, what do you want me to do? What do you want with my life? Because it's been hard for me in the performance industry. And a lot of times I struggle with, God, how do you get glorified in this? How do I take my eyes off myself and go, no, you have me in this industry to glorify you, to tell other people about you, to have kindness towards other, like I'm his hands and feet. How do I do this? And it's not easy, but I think that you can take that to any job or any kind of thing that you're in, any people that you're around, and it's just always looking to the Lord and going, I know you have me here for a reason. I think I always come down to that. When I'm at my lowest, I'm like, I have a breath today, so God wants me here, because he's the author and the finisher of my faith and my life. He gave me the first breath, he'll take me out on the last breath. And when I get to the lowest, I have to go down to the very fundamentals. I woke up today, so that means that there's a plan. There's a purpose. And, we're here by design. We're not here just to float around and wait until we die, in our maybe 60, 70, 80 years. So that kind of, it keeps me humble as well, always. And I was going to say that when I get critiqued, it reminds me that I need to be humble, the humility of like, God has you at a certain place, but he wants you to grow, and these people want you to grow, and are you going to take it and go, yes, I can grow. I can get better. I don't want to stay like this.
Yeah.
That's kind of been my my thought in my walk, but also in my career. I could be comfortable. I've been comfortable for a long time. I worked at Disneyland for 13 years performing the Aladdin show over there, and it was very comfortable, very easy for me. But I didn't challenge myself. I didn't move. And I think that was something I wish I would have done more of, because after 13 years, I mean, maybe I could have been in Hamilton and other such shows like that before if I would have put some effort in. But needless to say, I want to continue to move no matter what age I'm at. No matter, I want to keep growing because I keep trying to outdo myself, yeah. Right? But even with my walk, like, I don't want to be at the same place I was a year ago. I don't want to be at the same place I was 5 years ago. Mm-hmm. God's telling me and us different things throughout the day. And as you see, the world is changing and he wants different things of us.
Yeah.
Daily, choose this day whom you'll serve. What does that mean? It means each day he has a mission for me. Mm-hmm. You know, whether I choose to accept that mission is up to me. You know, that's the cool part, even about being a Christian. It's like, it's not about rules. It's not about requirements. It's about this walk and this faith that I have, that, like, if I have enough faith that this is the God of the universe, I'll want to honor him by doing what he asked me to do today. Mm-hmm. And just like Hamilton in the musical, he's always talking about running out of time.
Yeah.
You know, he sometimes raps so fast because he's like, I'm running out of time. And that's kind of a common theme through the musicals. Mm. You know, this could be it. And so he wrote like nonstop. That's yeah. one of the songs in the show. Like,
yeah.
He was constantly writing. And I'm glad he did. I'm glad it's a good lesson that, like, mm-hmm. we are running out of time. So mm-hmm. don't wait. Don't wait to do something that you love to do.
Yeah.
Don't wait to start something. Don't wait for something to happen. You have to make those small steps now so that you can be on that track later.
That's really cool. That's really cool to keep progressing and keep chasing after where God wants you to be. And that's awesome. Keep growing in everything, in your spiritual walk, in your professional walk, in your relationships, to keep progressing and getting better. So that's
and
really cool.
Nothing is easy. I mean, that's why we need the church.
Yeah.
That's why it's been so hard during this pandemic, not having people around. Like,
yeah.
God says we need each other.
Yeah.
You know, that we're supposed to be in communion with each other. And so please, if anyone out there, do not do it alone.
Mm.
Do not do it alone. Mm-hmm. God has not called us to be like on an island as a Christian by ourselves.
Yeah. We need community.
We need community.
Yeah, we do. So freedom is a main theme, and it's fitting as we celebrate the freedom of America this weekend. But freedom is a main theme in the musical Hamilton, as it covers, a large portion of it covers the Revolutionary War, when America won its freedom, its independence from Great Britain. How has being in the musical Hamilton, and every night you're going through this show and it's covering these topics, how has it shaped and impacted your view of freedom?
It's a great reminder how freedom is not free. Mm. There's always a cost. We can bring it to the spiritual side, which our freedom, you know, our freedom in Christ, it came at a cost. It came at a great sacrifice, God's Son. The same thing with our country. It came at a price. It came with a lot of martyrs, it came with a lot of deaths, it came with a lot of valor. Mm-hmm. And knowing that we wanted to be a free country, free from government, free from a king, but it all came at a cost. And the funny part is, when you watch Hamilton, which I always look at every night, when you're watching it, it's crazy to see that even then there was the bickering in the parties. To see that and go, man, even with these sinful, wretched people that could not always get along, they still were able to come up with this country. Mm-hmm. And the rules and the constitution and the things that allow us to be free. Mm-hmm. And thinking about this July 4th, it's like, yeah, we got a lot of work to do as a country, but this country is amazing. This country has brought people from all walks of life, from all faiths, allowed to practice their faiths, from every ethnicity. And we live here in this country, and there's a lot of wealth in this country because we've allowed each other to live free and to have free enterprise and to make businesses. And we've had hiccups along the way, but thankfully, even the very beginning, our founding fathers knew that was going to happen and allowed there to be change in it, but holding a foundation. And mm-hmm. that's the thing, like, we have a foundation. I think that's why our country has not crumbled. But it was because of these men in the musicals. I always look at that when I'm watching, and I always find it fascinating. And it's something to celebrate.
Yeah.
I know everyone wants to look at the negative of our country, but it is something to celebrate. The fact Amen. That anyone is allowed to protest, anyone's allowed to even speak negatively about our country on an internet site or whatever, that doesn't happen in other countries.
No.
Try to find that in North Korea. They're not talking bad about anything.
Mm-mm.
Try to find that in China. People disappear. Like, yeah. You know, you can't say these things about, it's not a free market of exchange of ideas. So it's just, it is something to celebrate. And if anything, I learned this about voting when I was younger and I wasn't voting, because I always thought like, my vote doesn't matter, I'm just one person. I'm sure some people think that too. But if anything, even if I think all those things, I am doing it, honoring the people that died so that I could.
Mm-hmm.
Honoring, like, and so even with the 4th of July, the same thing. Even if you think the world's a mess, maybe you've faced things in this world or in this country that were negative or bad or whatever, just even honoring on the 4th of July the people that sacrificed so that you could live in this country. In the show, one of my favorite songs to sing in the show is One Last Time that George Washington sings. And it happens in the second act. And what's happening there is they didn't have terms limits like we do now. Mm-hmm. Like that was something that happened later. But George Washington, after serving for so long, being a general first and then ends up being the first president of the United States, he's tired. And he's basically saying goodbye. Mm-hmm. And he's asking Hamilton to write his final like farewell speech, because Hamilton became his speechwriter. And he's telling him in the song, like, I want this to be the opportunity to say goodbye so that the nation can grow without me. Because everyone depended on him. He's kind of became like a king to people. Mm-hmm. Like, he's this man of valor. He fought in a war. And he was telling Hamilton that he wants the nation to grow. And it couldn't grow with just having one person the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
And that he served well. And that it's a beautiful thing. In the song, he talks about all the things that I may have done wrong, I hope that history forgets those things and looks at what I did right.
Mm-hmm.
And he was preparing himself for the mansions of rest, which I love how they talk then.
Yeah.
And you know, not too soon after he stepped down for being president, he passed away.
Oh,
like kind of like he did what he was intended to do on this earth.
Powerful stuff, man. Powerful stuff. Well, where can we catch you in this musical journey that you are on, where God has you?
Can you catch me all over?
You are on July 4th, when this is going to air. You're flying off and starting back up.
It's kind of nuts. Yeah, you guys. So July 4th, I will be on a plane to New York in a Hamilton boot camp, because we are coming back very fast. Mm-hmm. And I'll be playing George Washington the whole week, so I'll really feel the pride of the freedom we have on the 4th of July. But I will, I'm in the Ampegu tour, so you can see it online if you go on the Hamilton website. You can see all of our tour dates. We're mainly doing West Coast, and so I'll be in San Francisco for 2 months, and then I go to Sacramento and Reno and Tucson and Salt Lake City and all that stuff. So you can kind of catch up with me there. Hopefully you'll see me around here every now and then as I take a break or drive down. And, try to just visit.
We love having you here, part of our City Church family, and we will definitely be keeping you in prayers as you head off on the road.
Oh, and they love me, but they never have me rap here.
So
not on Sunday morning.
Speaking of, now is your chance. Is there anything that you would like to rap? Maybe something from George Washington's character?
You put me on the spot. Can I be real a second? But just a millisecond? Let down my guard and tell the people how I feel a second. Now, I'm the model of a modern major general, the venerated Virginian veteran whose men are all lining up to put me about a pedestal, writing letters to relatives, embellishing my elegance and eloquence. But the elephant is in the room. The truth is in your face when you hear the British cannons go boom.
Yes. Incredible. That is awesome. Thank you, man. Thank you so much.
That's hard without the music.
Right on.
Well, it'll be better on stage, don't worry.
So you got to catch him on stage, the Ampegu tour of Hamilton.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, love you, dude. Thank you so much. We're going to keep Elijah in prayers, and we will see. Hopefully, see you again soon.
Yeah, I love City Church. I always think about you guys and always catch you online. So make sure you're worshiping and stuff, so I can see you and worship with you.
Amen. That cool. Thanks, man.
Yeah.
Well, that was amazing. So thankful for Elijah for taking time out of his busy schedule to sit down and share with our church family. Keep him in prayers. As he said today, July 4th, he is hitting the road to jump back into his role as George Washington in the musical Hamilton. Now, I wanted to quickly touch on a few things that we talked about where we can extrapolate some gems of wisdom. Elijah said something very important. From performing the show night in and night out, he is constantly reminded that freedom is not free. It comes at the price of sacrifice. We have the amazing freedoms that we have in this country because many courageous men and women gave their lives to pay the price for the freedom that we now enjoy. Now, there's a spiritual parallel that I wanted to draw from this as well. There's a spiritual freedom that is available to all because Jesus Christ paid that price of sacrifice and laid down his life in place of ours to bring us freedom from sin. And this spiritual freedom from sin is available to all. If you simply accept that free gift of salvation, make him the Lord of your life, and follow in his ways. And so, real quickly, I wanted to talk about three ways that we should respond this 4th of July, both as we celebrate our nation's freedom and in the spiritual sense as well. The first way that we should respond is by remembering that we are blessed to live in this nation, remembering that we have the freedoms that we have because of others' sacrifices. We truly have freedom in this country unmatched by other countries. We are free to attend church. We are free to choose what we want to be when we grow up. We are free to choose where we want to live. We are free to choose most of the things that affect our daily lives. From personal experience, I can attest to this. I was born in a third world country. I previously lived in a third world country, and I've also lived in a developing nation in South America. And before, as I was a traveling musician and missionary, I was able to visit and minister in 50 different nations, and I have seen the worst of the worst, the poorest of the poor. And let me tell you, what we have here in the United States of America is something special. We don't always get it right, and of course, we have our issues. But make no doubt about it, we are so blessed to have what we have here in America, to have the freedom and the opportunities that we have here. So remember that we are blessed, and remember that freedom that we enjoy came at a sacrifice. And likewise, in the spiritual sense, we should remember that our spiritual freedom came at the cost of the cross, the cost of Jesus paying the penalty of our sin with his life. 1 John 2:2 says, He is the atoning sacrifice for our sin, and not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world. And because of it, if you choose to accept that freedom and make him the Lord of your life, you no longer have to be bound by the chains of sin. You are free. John 8:36 says, Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. The second way that we should respond this 4th of July is by celebrating. The 4th of July is a holiday for a reason. John Adams was one of our nation's founding fathers. He is also sung about in the musical Hamilton, and he was the second president and one of the original signers of the Declaration of Independence in 1776. He recognized the significance of that moment, and he wrote a letter to his wife, Abigail, soon after saying, I am apt to believe that it will be celebrated by succeeding generations as the great anniversary festival. It ought to be commemorated as the day of deliverance by solemn acts of devotion to God Almighty. It ought to be solemnized with pomp and parade, with shows, games, sports, guns, bells, bonfires, and illuminations from one end of this continent to the other from this time forward forevermore. Adams knew how historic this moment was, and he was right. That moment in 1776 marked the beginning of our nation's independence, and all good things should be celebrated. But most notably, he said that it should be commemorated as the day of deliverance by solemn acts of devotion to God Almighty. This day was originally meant to be a religious holiday to give thanks and praise to God Almighty. And so celebrate by giving thanks and praise to God today. Thanks and praise for the freedoms we have in our country, and thanks and praise for the spiritual freedom from sin we have available to us through Christ Jesus. Hebrews 13:15 says, Through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that openly profess his name. And lastly, the third way that we should respond on this 4th of July is by living a life that is honoring. honoring those that sacrificed their lives for our freedom, honoring those that suffered so much so that we can have the freedoms that we have. Going back to John Adams, he was one of only two signers that was there at the very beginning of our nation's independence journey at the signing of the Declaration of Independence in 1776 and at the official end of the American Revolutionary War at the signing of the Treaty of Paris in 1783. And in between those two dates was 7 years of much suffering and struggles, many battles and bloodshed. Adams witnessed many of his friends and family suffer and die during that time. And Adams wrote a letter to us, to all preceding generations that would come, and he said this, "Posterity, you will never know how much it costs the present generation to preserve your freedom. I hope that you will make a good use of it." Live in a way that is honoring to those that sacrifice for your freedoms, because freedom is not free. So live in a way that honors those that can't enjoy the freedoms that we now have that they paid the price for. And in the spiritual sense, how do we live in a way that is honoring to Jesus, who paid the price for our spiritual freedom from sin? Well, we should live in a way that honors and pleases His ways and His desires. For those that have accepted and made Jesus their Lord, Jesus has set us free from the slavery and the bondage of sin. 1 Peter 2:16 says, "You are not slaves, you are free, but your freedom is not an excuse to do evil." And so, how should we live lives that are honoring to Christ? Well, Romans 12:1 sums it up real nicely, and it reads this, "Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship." And so in conclusion, this 4th of July, let's respond by remembering, by celebrating, and by living a life that is honoring. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for the freedoms that we have in this country. We thank you for the blessings that you continue to rain down on us. Father, thank you for your sovereignty over it all. Lord, we thank you for the freedom from sin, most importantly, that we have through Jesus Christ. And it's a free gift that all we need to do is accept. And Father, we just ask that you would continue to guide us, Lord, that we would remember your sacrifice, Lord, that we would celebrate the things that you have done in our lives. And Lord, that we would continue to live in a way that honors and pleases you. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.